Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. I'm just going to ask us just to stand just for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Those will be the main two verses that we look at here in Matthew. And then we're going to also flip over to the book of Acts chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 8. So Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And I'm actually going to start at verse 16 of Matthew 28. Here's what the Bible says. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority, everybody say all. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, he says this, go, everybody say go. Come on, come on, 11 a.m. Say it like you mean to say, go.
Go.
Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. Flipping over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
When the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I want to preach from this theme and thought as we conclude our sermon series, Fresh Fire. And I want to call today's sermon, Spread It Like Wildfire. Can you tell the person beside you, tell them, hey neighbor,
hey neighbor,
spread it like wildfire.
Spread it like wildfire.
Find somebody else across the way, say, hey neighbor,
hey neighbor,
make it go viral.
Make it go viral.
Father, we pray that you would speak to us, give us wisdom, give us insight, give us understanding. We thank you for your word. We know that your word is what is needed in times like the one that we live in right now. We don't need more opinions. We need your truth. So Lord, would you speak to us in this moment? Would you give us clarity, direction, and understanding? Would you convict us to conform us into the image of your son in a greater way? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen, amen. You can be seated. Spread it like wildfire. Family, I want to begin our time together by sharing an observation that I believe many of us would probably agree with, and that is this. One of the dynamics that is present in our day and generation, in our time, is how quickly things around us can spread. Whether it's something like a stomach virus, where one person in your house contracts it, and it's only a matter of days before other people get it. Come on, I know all about it in my house. But not only can things like that spread, but it's also interesting that we live in a day and time where things like memes and videos and posts on social media can spread like wildfire and go viral in an instant, whether it's a dance, whether it's a funny video. And one thing that's going viral and is viral right now that so many of many young people of all ages are saying, and some of you might be familiar with this terminology and this saying right now, but everybody is saying it in schools, on college campuses, in homes. A lot of people are saying this phrase, 6-7. Now, I would expect the 11 o'clock service to know a little bit more about this, but it seemed like the 9 a.m. was a little bit more aware of this trend. 6-7. It literally has no significant meaning whatsoever. It was started by a well-known basketball player. He was captured saying something and doing something funny, I believe, on the sideline, and then it went viral on social media, and now everybody is saying 6-7. And how it simply goes is if a person hears the number 6 or 7, they'll say 6-7. 6-7. What time you got to be at work? 6-7. How much money you got in your bank account? $6.70. 6-7. 6-7. And our kids are saying it like crazy. So we could be in the house having a serious conversation. Hey, y'all need to be up at 7 o'clock. 6-7. This is not a joke. Be up at 7 a.m. And it's interesting, y'all. It's so viral, and everybody's talking about it, and it's spreading. And so you could just, it doesn't matter what conversation you're in, when that number comes up, everybody starts to say it. And now teachers are saying it. Now some people are like, now the trend is gone. It's just, adults know it now, you know? But it's interesting how so many things like this can go viral in a moment. And what can also spread rapidly in moments is not just positive things, but it can also be negative things. Hate can be spread, division can be spread, darkness can be spread. And it's caused me to wrestle and ask this question that I want to submit today for your consideration online and in person. Are you and I, are we as a people quicker to share a meme or a message of culture than we are the message of Jesus? Are we more prone to share what culture is talking about as opposed to sharing what the King has already said? Which brings us here now to Matthew chapter 28. Because in the closing moments of Matthew 28, following the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he now has an interaction with his disciples, whom in verse 17, watch what the text says. In verse 17, it says this: they worshiped, but some doubted. They worshiped, but some doubted. The reason why this is profound that we examine this for a quick moment is because they are standing in front of the physical, visible, resurrected body of the Lord Jesus, who was once dead, but has now miraculously been brought back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're standing right in front of him. And it's in many ways, they're worshiping him. Why? Because he is the Son of God. He is God incarnate. He is the second person in the triune Godhead. So they're worshiping him, but at the same time, they're doubting. And I find this to be interesting because what it helps us to see that they are in a place caught between faith and maybe fear. They are dealing with some conflict and some confusion on the inside of them. In other words, they are having a hard time processing what they're seeing. Now, before you and I get self-righteous and kind of get really Christian, judgmental, or whatever the case may be, wouldn't you also have some feelings on the inside of you if the one who you trusted to be the Messiah was dead and you saw him get hung on a cross and you heard about him getting buried in a tomb and then 3 days later you see him standing in front of you? Wouldn't you also have some interesting feelings as well? You were dead and now you're alive. They're conflicted on the inside. Some, the Bible said, worshiped, and some doubted. And I find that to be interesting because what they're experiencing, I believe, is what many people in today's time are also experiencing. That many people are living in a perpetual state of confusion and conflict. Many people are looking at the world around them and looking at their own personal lives and are struggling to have hope in the midst of all the things that they're facing and all the things that they're dealing with. Many people, family, are walking through hardships and wondering whether or not things will ever get better. Matter of fact, if we're really honest, that's where some of us are right now in our own personal lives. Some of us are here today, online and in person, and you are walking through a season where clarity is lacking, and where purpose is lacking, and where hope is lacking, and where joy is lacking, and where fulfillment is lacking. Some of us have come here today, and you're maybe feeling disoriented on the inside. You're unsure of some things on the inside, in spite of all the great things that God has done in your life. Some of you are here today and you're wondering if you even have what it takes to accomplish the very thing that God wants you to. Some of you are conflicted because some of the things that you're walking through right now have caused you to ask the question, does God really even in fact love me? Some of us are here today and you're conflicted because you're in a state of mourning right now, in a state of grief right now because of various things that are maybe happening in your life or happening around your life. And some of us are here today and we got more questions than we do have answers. And can I let us know something? All of us under the sound of my voice, no matter who you are, no matter what your age is, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter if you're a follower of Christ, no matter if you're not a follower of Christ, all of us, myself included, will find ourselves in a state of confusion and find ourselves in a state where we're doubting some things, find ourselves in a state where we're conflicted and disoriented on the inside. All of us will find ourselves dealing with some fear at times. All of us will find ourselves dealing with doubt at times. All of us will find ourselves dealing with uncertainty and confusion at times. Can I let you know that as long as you're walking through this thing called life, you will find yourself dealing with moments of disorientation and moments of confusion where in one breath you might be worshiping God, but in the next breath you find yourself doubting. And one moment you got joy, and then the next moment you got sorrow. And one moment it feels like you're on the mountaintop, and then the next moment you feel like you're in a valley. I just want to see, just by a show of hands, how many of us can be honest and say, Pastor, I know exactly what that feels like. Some of us are like, I'm right there right now. I'm confused. I don't see my way through this darkness, this dark moment. I don't see my way through this. I can't see my way through this moment right now. I'm trying to move on with my life, but the divorce is so hard to walk through. I'm trying to be optimistic and positive about being a good student, but I've been dealing with this at school, and I'm not as successful as I wanted to be. All of us, I feel like, are dealing with these moments and face these moments where we feel overwhelmed and we feel stressed and we feel alone and we feel like we're in a place of darkness and we feel like we're in a place of doubting. Matter of fact, one of the things we're going to talk about in this next series is how God has a word for our doubts, how he has a word for our fears, how he has a word for our anxious ways and anxious thoughts. But can I give you some good news? That if you find yourself in a place of doubt and worry and feeling overwhelmed, here's what the Bible says in verse 18, and I'm going to see if some of y'all catch it. Here's what the Bible says. Some worship, some doubt it, but Jesus came near. Okay, over your heads. They worshiped, some doubted, and Jesus came near. Okay, y'all still didn't get it, all right? They're in a place of confusion. They're in a place of feeling overwhelmed. They're in a place, maybe a place of darkness. Maybe they're overwhelmed right now. They're trying to process everything that's happening before them. And in the midst of the state emotionally that they find themselves in, the Bible says, Jesus came near. The reason why we should get excited about that is because he doesn't leave them in a place of confusion. He comes to them in spite of their confusion. In spite of their doubts, Jesus came close. And I'm here to encourage some of you who are here today that whatever you're dealing with in your life, I'm here to let you know and give you some good news. Jesus is not that far off. He is close to the brokenhearted. He is Emmanuel, the God who is with us. I'm here to let you know that though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your God is with you. Can I let you know this? He is with you in the valley moments of your life. Can I let you know this? He is with you in the midst of the diagnosis that you might receive. I'm here to let you know that he's with you in the midst of your grief. I'm here to let you know he's not only with you in your highest moment, he's with you in your lowest moment. I'm here to let you know that he has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. He is for you. He is not against you. I'm here to let you know that no matter how alone you might feel, people might have walked out of your life. You might be going through the worst week of your life ever. You might have lost your job. You might have lost a loved one. Can I let you know who you have not lost? You have not lost the presence of God. He is right there with you. And I just want to know, is there anybody at the 11 o'clock service that's grateful for the fact that we got a God who will meet us no matter where it is that we find ourselves? Tell the person beside you, you're not alone in this. He's with you. And not only, this is what I love, not only is he with you. Notice what he says in verse 18 after it says Jesus came near. Here's what the Bible says in verse 18. He says this. All authority has been given to me in heaven, come on, and on earth. All authority, you know what it means? Power. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I want you to understand, here's what he's doing. He's not just offering comfort through his presence. He's making a claim of his power. He says, all authority, which means there is nothing above you, there is nothing around you that is happening that Jesus does not have power over. I'm here to let you know that whatever your dilemma is, he has power over it. Whatever you're discouraged about right now, he has power over it. The depression that you're dealing with, he has power over it. The addiction that you're battling, he has power over it. The struggle that you're wrestling with, he has power over it. And I just want to know, is there anybody here grateful for the fact that we got a God who has power over all things? He has power over darkness. He has power over division. He has power over depression. He has power over weary. He has power over fear. He's got power. He has all power. Because if he has power, Pastor, how can you say that? Because the same Jesus who was crucified on the cross for our sins on that Friday, The same Jesus who was then taken off that cross and buried in a tomb on Friday. The same Jesus who stayed there Friday. And the same Jesus who stayed in the tomb on Saturday is the same Jesus who got up out of the grave early on Sunday morning to show that he has power over sin, death, the grave, Satan, and evil. And I'm here to let you know, if Jesus has power to defeat death, he has power to overcome whatever it is that you're walking through right now. I'm here to let you know, if he got resurrection power, he has power to deal with whatever it is that you're dealing with. He's got power over all things. And I think I'm talking to some of you in here who've had glimpses of his power. You have had experiences of his power. Come on, I'm talking to some of you in here. You got a testimony where you've seen the manifested power of God in your life. You survived some situations that you should not have survived because of the power of God in your life. Some of y'all are alive right now today only because of the power of God. The bullet should have taken you out. The car accident should have taken you out. The harm should have happened. The job loss should have caused you to be in a place of depression. But God was faithful, and you saw the manifested power of God in your life. Had it not been for the Lord who was on your side, where would you be? His power. His power over all things. Which means this is good news, because no matter what you see happening in your life, no matter what's happening around you, no matter what you're feeling, I want you to know this: he's got power. Which is why we call on the name of Jesus. Because all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Something happens when we call on the name of Jesus. When we begin to call on the name of Jesus, chains begin to break and addictions begin to break and clarity begins to come and provision begins to flow and peace begins to come. When we call on the name of Jesus. I'm here to let you know, if you can trust Jesus to get up out of the grave, you can trust him with a light bill. If you can trust Jesus to get up out of the grave and beat death on the third day, you can trust him with the class that you're struggling with right now. I'm here to let you know, if you can trust Jesus to get up out of the grave and to beat sin, death, the grave, and evil, then you can trust Jesus with your family. You can trust Jesus with your marriage. You can trust Jesus with your health. You can trust Jesus with your finances. You can trust Jesus with your resources. He is trustworthy. And now, family, in light of the resurrection of Jesus and what Jesus has done and can do for us and for all of humanity, watch what the text says. He gives the disciples, which is representative of his church, all believers, he gives them a mission. And that mission is, go tell others. Here's how I would contemporize it. Spread it like wildfire. Go make it viral. Tell people. Why? Because we believe that Jesus is the answer to every pain, every hurt, every ill, and the darkness that we see all around us. If there's one thing that we constantly are reminded of when we turn on social media, when you turn on the news, when you walk through things in your life, one thing that we are constantly reminded of is how this world needs Jesus. And Jesus gave the church a mission to go make disciples. Many refer to this as what is known as the Great Commission. That word commission, it literally means to send out. So Matthew 28, 19 says, go therefore and make disciples. He says, go. Everybody say, go.
Go.
Go, which means this. The mission of God is meant to be one of motion. It is meant to move. It is not meant to be stagnant. It is one that's meant to be fluid. It is one that's meant to be moving. Write this down. The mission of Jesus is a movement, not a monument. It is a movement, meaning it started with him. And his goal and his heart and his desire and his vision is that it will spread through generations and generations, that it would not die with him, that it would spread because of him. And he's given this mission now to the church. But unfortunately, many people in today's time aren't spreading the faith like wildfire. Matter of fact, studies have shown 61% of Christians don't share their faith at all. Studies have also shown that at least 50% don't invite anyone to church at all. And it's interesting that this is true, because now the late theologian Dallas Willard, he says these words, the great commission has become the great omission. That even though the Lord Jesus has given his people a simple marching command to go make more disciples, it has been oftentimes omitted by the disciples, by people who call themselves followers of Jesus. But as believers, as followers of Jesus, hear me, family, we are called to be on mission for the kingdom. This is why last week we talked about how Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are salt and you are light. Let your light so shine so people might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You and I have been given this mission to lead people to Jesus. And with everything that's happening in our communities, in our country, in our world, it reveals the need for why we have to be a people who are on mission to point as many people to the love, to the lordship, and to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be a people who show the way of Christ, to do what Jesus says here in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to obey everything that he has taught us through the scriptures. We are called to be a people who point people to Jesus. We are called, hear me, to make more disciples and followers, to make more disciples of Jesus. And it's crucial and critical that we understand this. We're not called to make more disciples of our favorite news network. And in our day and time, family, we got too many disciples of TikTok, too many disciples of Instagram, too many disciples of Threads, come on, too many disciples of CNN, too many disciples of Fox News, too many disciples of MSNBC, too many disciples of favorite political figures, favorite podcasters, favorite influencers, and not enough favorite disciples of Jesus Christ. We got a lot of disciples of many different things, but not many disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I want you to go make disciples, people who follow me. This is interesting and important that we understand this, because I said in week one of our message series, Fresh Fire, if you missed it, go back and listen to it. We preached from Matthew 7, preached a message called Don't Get Burned. And it was this message that was anchored in Matthew 7, where Jesus says, many people will say, Lord, Lord. And I will say, I will never knew you. Many people will say, Lord, Lord, but he says this, but not everyone who says, Lord, Lord to me will enter the kingdom of heaven. And what he's helping us to see is just because on the surface, they sound like me. Come on. Doesn't mean that they with me. They not like us. They look like that, but they not are. They're not that. They claim to know me, but he says, but I will say, depart from me, I never knew you. So the question is not whether or not do people know Jesus. The question is, does Jesus know them? And a lot of people claim to know the Lord, but the Lord does not know them. And can I give us a real truth that I need all of us to understand in a climate that we live in? That not everybody who says they're a follower of Jesus is actually a follower of Jesus. I need us to get that in our hearts. Pastor, how can you say that? Because Jesus says it. And if you want to know the litmus test as to whether or not a person is a true follower of Christ, it's not about how many scriptures they know. It's not about how much Bible they know. The Pharisees knew the Bible, but did not know God. It's not about how many services they come to. It's not about how many teams they serve on in the church. It's not, watch this, it's not even about how much they give to the church. No. It's John 13, 34. Here's what Jesus says. I give a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. Watch this, verse 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Come, did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what Jesus just said? That the litmus test of a true follower of Christ is not how much scripture they know, it's how well they love. It's love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Meaning this, I can't be a true follower of Christ and claim to hate people.
That's right. Yes.
All right, let me come down our street, because some of us like, I don't hate nobody. Here's things that we say. I love them, but I don't like them. Careful with that. Because you might be convinced that you love them and don't like them, but in all actuality, what's beneath that is you don't love them. I'm called as a believer to love. That don't mean I agree with everything.
Just because I love you don't mean I agree with everything you do. But I love you. I see you as somebody created in the image of God. I see somebody that Jesus bled and died for. I can't be a true follower of Christ and tear people down. It's hypocritical for me to come in here and lift up holy hands unto God. Oh God, you're so worthy. I'm going to see a victory. But then put hands on people throughout the course of the week. Y'all still here? That math ain't mathing. I can't be a true follower of Christ and not walk in love towards people when it comes to how I talk to them, talk about them, how I treat them, how I treat them in their presence, how I treat them when I'm not in their presence. Which means this, as a family, church family, as followers of Christ, here's what we're called to do. We're called to love people who look like us. We're called to love people who don't look like us. We're called to love people, watch this, it's gonna mess us up, who vote like you. And called to love people who don't vote like you. You're called to love people who you agree with, and you're called to love people who you don't agree with. Family, we're called to love people, and we're called to extend love and to show grace and to show mercy to people. Family, can I be honest with you? It's hard. Like it's hard. It's hard. Y'all laughing, I'm serious. It's hard to love Cowboy fans. It's hard. It's hard. Lord, why? It's hard. It's hard to love Commander fans. It's hard. I'm joking, I promise you. Had to lighten the mood a little bit. But no, serious, no. I'm called to love people in spite of differences. I love people. And we laugh and joke because that's not really that serious. We're talking about, you know, football and whatever, and it's very light. But when it comes to serious things and heavy things in life, can I still love people? Even if I don't see eye to eye the way that they do. That's love. Somebody say that's love. As a matter of fact, Jesus takes it up a step further. All throughout the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7, he talks about this kingdom ethic. And in Matthew 5, verses 43 through 44, he says these words, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy." He says, "But I tell you, love your enemies." Y'all got real quiet. Love your enemies. Watch this. Then he says this, "And pray for those who persecute you." I got a lot of haters and I can't stand them. Jesus says, love them and pray for them. Come on. Love them, pray for them. And in today's time, family, there's a lot of false faith posing to be real faith. And Jesus tells us even in Matthew 7, you can judge a tree by its fruit. If they are of me, they'll love like me. And disciples of Jesus, hear me, are loving. They are caring. They speak against injustice. They speak truth to power. And most of all, they are peacemakers, as Jesus says in Matthew 5. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Lovers of Jesus, followers of Jesus, they love people. And here's what it is. They want to see people come to know Jesus. I want you to write this down. The world can't know if the church doesn't go. If the church don't go, how will the world know? And a lot of times we'll be finding ourselves saying, people on a job, man, they need Jesus. That's why he put you there. Man, my family needs Jesus, and that's why you're there. And God said, I want you to love. And I want you to lead people into relationship with me. So within this great commission, Jesus is very specific in his words of who and where we are to take this message. We're called to spread it like wildfire. We're called to spread this gospel message. What is this gospel? The good news of what Jesus has done for all of humanity through his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. We're called to spread that and to take that message in a way that Jesus has commissioned us to take it. Number one, write this down. We are to take the message of Jesus, write this down, to all places. Let the church say all places. So notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Nations representing all places. Jesus even says this again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We read it earlier. We'll read it again. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Here's the principle that I need us to get, that Jesus is pushing us to get to. Wherever I find myself, I'm called to be a carrier of the gospel. Wherever my feet are planted, I'm meant to point people to Jesus. Can I help you understand something? The gospel of Jesus Christ is not limited to just one area. It is meant to be spread to all areas, our cities throughout the 757 and beyond. It's meant to be spread and taken to our communities, schools, hospitals, jobs, counseling centers, government, sports teams, the gym, wherever we are, our neighborhood. Gospel of Jesus is meant to be spread to college campuses. The gospel of Jesus is meant to be spread to our country and beyond. Mission trips, church planting, things of this nature. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not limited to just one area. No, it's meant to be taken to all the ends of the earth. And family, Jesus is called the church, and he's also called our church, the Bridge Church, to be a Great Commission church. To all my college students in here, and elementary students, and middle school, and high school students, can I let you know that students, your campus or your school is your mission field. You are at the school that you're at because God wants to use you to bring light, love, and hope of the Lord Jesus Christ to these places and to these arenas where there's a lot of darkness. Come on. Yes, he sent you there so that way you can get a good education, but he's also sent you there to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God, that you can push back all the elements of darkness by bringing light. Family, can I let you know this? Your neighborhood is your mission field. You know the neighbors that you try to avoid. You see them getting out of the car, you hurry up. I don't even want to talk to them today. People in your apartment complex. Your Uber driver, your Lyft driver, yeah, wherever you are, your gym, your job, wherever you are, it's your mission field. And maybe even for some of us who are working jobs that we don't like, maybe if we would start to look at it from a kingdom perspective, as opposed to just a monetarial perspective, we will actually get more fulfillment on that job. And instead of praying, God, get me out of this job, now we adopt the mentality, let your will be done at this job on earth as it is in heaven. Appreciate the golf clap. Talk about jobs. Everybody wants to leave their jobs, but maybe God has put you there on assignment. And maybe he won't release you from that job until you help some people get released from their sin. I put you there. I want you to shine a light there. I want you to be a light. Everywhere we go in life, we should be asking God for opportunities to show people his love. So as a church family, we're not just for Hampton. We're for the whole entire 757. We want to reach people in Hampton, in Norfolk, in Newport News. Why? Because Hampton needs Jesus. Virginia Beach needs Jesus. Suffolk needs Jesus. Chesapeake needs Jesus. Portsmouth, Williamsburg, Richmond, all these places around, they need Jesus. Our communities need Jesus. And I think we would all agree our world and our country needs Jesus. We're called to be witnesses and to carry the good news of Jesus wherever we are. Write this down. Wherever we go, the gospel goes with us. Wherever we go, the gospel goes with us. Wherever you find ourselves, the gospel should be a message and the message that we carry with us. And the reason why you and I should appreciate that is because that is exactly what Jesus did for all of us. The reason why you and I should be grateful to God for this message of the gospel being available and meant to be going to all places is because it means that no matter where people are, whether it be geographically or personally, Jesus has all power to be able to reach people wherever they are. And that's exactly what some of our testimonies are, because if you think back in your own life, Jesus reached some of you in some of your worst moments in your life. He reached you during a hard time in your life. He reached some of us when we felt alone. He reached some of us when we were remember in the doctor's office. He reached some of us in hard financial times. He reached some of us during hard times in school. Thank God that we got a Savior who's not limited to just one geographic location. No, thank God that we got a Savior who says, I got all power in my hands and I can meet you right where you are. If you're depressed, I'll meet you there. If you're in darkness, I will meet you there. If you feel alone, I'll meet you there. And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful for the fact that we got a Savior who won't sit up here and isolate himself, but he will meet us right where we are. I'll meet you there. If you high right now, I'll meet you there. If you strung out, I'll meet you there. If you drunk, I'll meet you there. If you're on the edge of your life, I'll meet you there. Thank God that we got a Savior who will meet us right where we are. He's not confined to a location, but he says, I can reach you where you are. And because of that, he says, I want my people to go take my message to where everybody is, to all places, all cities. We don't put a cap on where the gospel can go. No. We go to all places. And with the advent of so much technology, the gospel can spread to places without us even stepping foot in certain places. But it comes back to his people participating in his mission to spread it like wildfire, which now leads to the second part, that the message is not just meant to go to all places. Write this down. It's also meant to go to all people. Everybody say all people. When Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. This word nations in the Greek language of the New Testament is the Greek word ethnos. It means every people group, every type of ethnicity. Meaning this, the mission Jesus gives is for his believers to make disciples of people of every color, of every creed, of every background. And the reason why this is earth shattering, even for his first century Jewish disciples, is because in their minds, they're like, wait a minute, you're saying that the gospel isn't just for us Jews. Jesus is like, no, it's for everybody. Go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, and you know y'all boys don't like them Samaritan people, and take it to the ends of the earth. I want us to know that the mission of Jesus isn't just to reach people, it's to reach all kinds of people. Meaning this, we point people to Jesus who look like us and who don't look like us. And there are many false teaching in today's time that would suggest and propose that Jesus only came for one segment of population. But I'm so thankful that John 3:16 says otherwise, where it says, for God so loved the world that any person who will believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. Jesus did not just come for one group of people. He came for all people. Why, Pastor, can you say that? Because there's one thing that every single person, no matter who you are, no matter how much money you make, no matter where you live, no matter what your skin is, no matter how tall you are, no matter how short you are, one thing that all of us have in common with the person sitting next to us, whether we know them or not, is this three-letter word called sin. We know how to sin with the best of them. Come on, let's be real. Church is the place we take off the mask, right? Some of us sinned on the way here. You cuss out the person on the interstate getting here. Yeah, too real? Come on, let's be honest. We were sinning some this week. We snapped on a person. We got short with a person. We got an attitude with a person. We gossiped about a person. Y'all real tight today. And there's one thing that we all have in common is sin. But thank God that we got a Savior who has power over all sin, who has come to set us free from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin and eventually the presence of sin. Jesus says he's come for all people. And he wants us to take this message to all people, that all people will know that in him there is life and life more abundantly. And the reason why we should be grateful for this is because Jesus did not pick and choose who he would show his love to. Thank God. I'm so grateful that Jesus did not only say, I'm only going to show love to the people who get it right. I'm so thankful that he said, I'm going to show love to everybody who can't get themselves together. Because family, that's me right there. There's been plenty of times in my life where I look back and I say, I can't do this on my own. Thank God for the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. He says his blood is available for all people. His grace is available for all people.
And we live in a time, family, let's be honest, where things like racism is being fanned and classism is being fanned and political ideologies are being lifted up. But Jesus is helping us to see that his message, his kingdom, is available for all people to receive, no matter their color, no matter their gender, no matter their age, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is available for all people to receive. Which means this, family, in the kingdom of God, there's no place for racism. I thought there would be a few more amens there. In the kingdom of God, there's no place for sexism. In the kingdom of God, there's no place for elitism. Yeah. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Bible does. Here's what Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is now no Jew or Greek. That's ethnocentrism, racism. There is neither slave or free. That's classism. Yeah. There is neither male or female. That's sexism. Since you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying that Jesus came for every single person. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what their past is. He came and poured out his blood for every person so that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Where are my people out in here that are grateful for the fact that the blood is available for all people? No matter who you are. Tell the person beside you, he's for you too. He's for you too. And family, every local church is called to walk in this mission, this great commission of Jesus in their own unique way. Every local church, just like every single person's physical body, is different from each other's body, but there's some core essentials that make up those bodies and similarities. There are also some unique differences of that. So every local body is called to fulfill this mission in their own unique way based upon where God has physically situated them at this present time and juncture. So as a church, here's how we say this vision when it comes to pointing people to Jesus. It's summed up in seven words: to see all people connected to Christ. That's our vision. That's our heart. That's why we as a church exist. To see all people connected to Christ. Why? Because we believe in Christ, you experience the presence of God. We believe that in Christ, you have access to the people of God. We believe that in Christ, you have access to the purpose of God. Here's what I'm saying. Everything a person needs for eternal life and everyday life is found in Jesus Christ. Everything that you're searching for is found in Jesus. Relationships are found in Jesus. Fulfillment is found in Jesus. Provision is found in Jesus. Protection is found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. This is why we call our church the Bridge Church. You think about a bridge, what does a bridge do? It connects one thing to another thing. It connects. This is why our logo is a picture of a bridge. That triangle is indicative. It represents a bridge. It's meant to take you to somewhere. It's connecting you to Christ. Why is this so important? Because overall, we believe that Jesus is the bridge. This is why he says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. In other words, there's only one name that gives you and I access to the kingdom of heaven. And it's not Buddha, it's not Allah, it's not anything else. It is the resurrected name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And now, here's what he's called you and I to do as the Bridge Church, to build bridges so people can come to know Christ. Your life is meant to be a bridge for people to come to know Christ. What you and I say and do is meant to be a bridge for people to come to know Christ. And Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Y'all see that? Ain't that what your Bible say? Go and make disciples. Last time I checked, that's plural. It's the S. Disciples. Come on, say it with me. Some of y'all are like, I feel like I'm making a Satan noise by doing that. You're a snake. Disciples, plural. It's plural. Meaning this, multiples. Meaning this, various. We're called to a mission that multiplies. We're called to a mission of multiplication. This is why 2025, as a church, our vision is to see all people connected to Christ. But every year, God gives a word for our church as to how to lean into that and how to speak into that in a specific way for that particular year. And this is why we've said that 2025 for our church is the year of multiplication.
where Peter says in 2 Peter 1 and 2, may the peace and grace of God be multiplied unto you. Which means this, family, we're called to be a church that multiplies. We're called to be a church that continues to grow and reach people for Christ. That while I'm so grateful that all of us gather and the many people who come to our church, can I also let you know what keeps me up at night? How many more people don't know Jesus right now? How many more young people are walking through life without fulfillment and purpose and not feeling loved? How many marriages right now that are struggling? How many people right now who are bound to sin and dealing with addiction? That's what keeps me up at night as a pastor. I'm grateful for all that God has done in our church. And at the same time, I'm reminded we still got so much more work to do to reach people. Called to be a church that multiplies. That's God's desire, is that his church would grow. His desire is that his house would be filled from people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language of all generations. God is a multi-generational God. He is a multi-ethnic God. He is a God for all people. And there's a scripture in the book of Acts that really kind of captures this essence of multiplication, which I found to be very interesting. Here's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Y'all didn't get it. It's all right. 9 o'clock was much better than y'all. I am astounded. Y'all are usually alert. In Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Okay, there you go. Watch what the So the word of God spread. I'm trying to focus, all right? Now, the disciples in Jerusalem, watch this, increased greatly in number. And a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. So the word of God spread. Watch what happens next. And the disciples in Jerusalem increase greatly in number. It spread, and the disciples increase. The more the word spread, the more people came to Christ. Well, you gotta ask the question, how did the word spread? Because people were spreading it. People were telling family about Jesus, friends about Jesus, maybe enemies about Jesus. And the Bible says, and the disciples in Jerusalem increase rapidly. Can I let you know that is exactly what God desires for his church today? That he wants his church and he wants more disciples to be made in the name of Jesus Christ. God wants his house filled, and so should we. God's desire is that his house be overflowing with people who are coming to receive the bread of life in Christ, and so should his people. That as much as we've seen God do in our church over this past year, and as we get ready to celebrate 11 years as a church, can I let you know the harvest is still plentiful? There's so much more that God wants to do. We are called to be missionaries that multiply, leading more people to Jesus. Young people, you're called to lead your friends to Jesus and your siblings to Jesus. Parents, you're called to lead your kids to Jesus and coworkers to Jesus. On your job, you're called to lead people to Jesus. If you play on a basketball team or a football team, or if you're in acting or you're in theater or ballet, God says, I want to use you in those spaces to draw more people into the kingdom of God. So here's what multiplication for our church means. This is what I believe it looks like in this season as we get ready to celebrate 11 years as a church. Number one is this: seeing more souls saved. Y'all, this year alone, we've seen more souls be saved at this point this year than all of last year total. That is crazy. Come on, that's worth celebrating right there. The Bible said all of heaven rejoices when one person. We've seen over 130 people say yes to Jesus this year. Souls saved, which means more people are coming. Amen, child, amen. The child will lead them. That means if more souls are being saved, more people are coming, that means we gotta create more space for them. So 2 years ago, we were at one service. Then in 2023, stuff just started growing like crazy. We had to go to two services. And we're at that same place now, where as the church continues to grow, we're gonna have to add more services to create more space for people. We don't do this for us, we do this for them. We create more space. This is why we have Welcome Home Sunday, because the message is clear. We want you to know that there is room for you in God's family. This also means that part of multiplication for our church might mean God expanding our territory, where we have presence not just in one city, but maybe all the cities. Because he did say to go to all places. And right now, family, we got people who are part of our church that come from Virginia Beach, that come from Norfolk, that come from Chesapeake, that come right here in Hampton, Newport News, Yorktown, come from Richmond, Northern Virginia. What if God is saying, hey, I want to spread this impactful ministry, not just to Hampton, but beyond, through physical locations and physical sites and presences, maybe in all these other cities, whether it's through connect groups, whether it's through other locations, whether it's through online ministry. God wants to use the ministry of our church to be a vehicle to bring more people into the kingdom. But it also means multiplication of more people saying, sign me up, I want to serve, I want to be a part of that. Who say, I'm going to put my hands to the plow. I want to serve within the church. I want to serve within the community. I want to be a light the way Jesus has called me to be a light. And I'm going to give us three practical things that I believe that God is inviting us into as a church in this season to say yes to when it comes to fulfilling the mission and accepting the mission of Jesus. Number one, accepting the call to share. The mission of Jesus is a call to share for us. What I mean by share? It's a call to share our faith. To not be silent about it. Family, if we can sit up here and talk passionately about our favorite athletic teams, our favorite TV shows to watch on Netflix, should we not be even more passionate and vocal about the one who saved our soul and who made a way out of no way? We share our faith. We share our story. We share our testimony of the goodness of God. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:18 says. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Meaning Paul's saying, God has given us this responsibility to spread this gospel message to as many people as possible. Verse 20 says this, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Can I let you know, you are not called to be an ambassador for your favorite team. You are not called to be an ambassador for your favorite influencer. You are not called to be an ambassador for your favorite podcaster. No, you're not called to be an ambassador for your favorite politician. You and I are called to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered, bled, and died for the sins of the world and rose back to life on the third day. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ who tell people about his goodness. That's what we're called to do. Write this down. The gospel isn't meant to be stored. It's meant to be shared. It's not meant to be held to ourselves. It's meant to be shared. Meaning this, people should see your life and know there's something different about you before you even open up your mouth. Because how you live a life and how you talk, there's something different about your ethic. There's something different about my ethic. And as they get to know us, they find out the difference is Jesus. Because our life preaches the message that he came to give us. It spreads. Here's the second thing. It's not just a call to share, it's also a call to serve. Everybody say serve. The mission of Jesus to spread the gospel, it is a call to serve. As people on mission, we're called to serve others and to help them see Jesus. This is what Jesus called us to do. To use the abilities, to use the time, to use the strengths, to use the gifts, to serve. Some of us are sitting on the gifts that God has given us. And can I let you know this? And people are suffering because of it. He's equipped you and I to serve. Here's what the Bible says in John 13. Jesus says this to his disciples. After he washed their feet, he says this. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Some of us like, Pastor, I'm down with the servant, but the whole washing feet, I don't know. He's not talking about that literally for us. But in principle, as he served us by going to the cross, he's called us now to serve others. So he says, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done for you. We are to use the gifts and abilities that God has given us to serve within the local church and even outside of the local church in the broader community. So as a church family, God is inviting us to serve within the context of the church to help advance the mission of Christ. Practically, what does that look like? It means that we get on the team, we serve. This coming up Saturday, we got Fast Track, where you can take all three steps of the growth track in one day. Here's my challenge and my prayer. My prayer is that we have at least 30 people in Fast Track this Saturday who say, I want to sign up to serve, and I want to make a difference in the kingdom of God. I don't know how I'm going to serve, but I want to serve. Because Jesus has served me. As he's laid his life down for me, I want to lay my life down by serving others. It's not about my preference. It's about God's purpose. I want to serve. Students, you have the abilities from God. He wants to use you to lead people your age to Jesus. Whether it's through social media, whether it's through creativity. For some of our young people in here, God say, hey, I want you to start a prayer group right in your school, right on your campus. And people might look at you strange. And people might call you weird. And people might call you church boy. And people might call you church girl. But can I tell you this? When something goes down in your life, you know who they're going to come talking to. And do you know who they're going to come to for encouragement and come to for prayer? The people who stood in the gap and the people who said, I'm going to lay my life down to serve. Called to serve. Shout out to many people in our church who serve on a regular basis. This past Thursday, our outreach team and many who were here served 2,000 pounds of food to families in our community. This past Thursday. Because people are saying, I want to serve. And there's many people in our church who are serving on cameras, hosting connect groups, serving in kids. Every parent, you ought to be blessing God right now for the kids' ministry. They're getting the gospel in their own unique way. And lastly, is this, I'm going to close with this. It's also a call to sow. Everybody say sow. What do I mean by sow? It means to give. We give of our resources to God. Now, this is where sometimes we have a hard time. But we should not have a hard time because we have no problem giving to Netflix. Come on. We have no problem giving to our favorite things. We have no problem giving to Walmart. We have no problem giving to all these different places, to Mac, to Gucci, Maybelline, Air Force Ones, Jordan. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But should we not at least first give to the one who gave us the resources to get all those things in the first place? And so we sow into the mission of God to reach more people. The gospel is free, but it does cost to get it out. Like, y'all just think these lights just came on because of prayer? Well, God said, let there be light. I mean, outside. Nah, it comes because people have said, I'm going to use my resources to give to God through his church so that his church can continue to reach people who are far. And I think if there's anything that our church has proven is that the Bridge Church is good ground to sow his gifts into. It's led to hundreds and thousands of people giving their lives to Jesus Christ, to many needs being met. It's a call to sow. Here's what 2 Corinthians 9 says. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, 2 Corinthians 9. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. Watch verse 12. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Family, we've been able to reach so many people for Jesus because people have said, I'm going to use the gifts and the resources and the finances that God has given me to sow back into the kingdom, to give back to God as an act of worship by giving to church. And for some of us, that's where we need to say yes to. We're saying yes to sharing our faith. We're doing a good job there. We're maybe saying yes to serving. We might be doing a good job there. But when it comes to sowing and giving, that might be a challenge. But no matter where you are on the spectrum, can I let you know this, that when you and I say yes to God, he uses it to advance his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to write this down. We give to God first because he first gave to us. Trends come and go. 6-7 will come and go. 6-7. All right. Next week, this time, we might not even be talking about it. Next month. Trends sometimes last a day, they last a month, week, whatever, and then over time, it's something else. We live for the viral moment. But can I let you know something? That was not only viral in the moment, but it's still spreading today. That 2,000 years ago when Jesus was facing his disciples and he said, go make disciples of all nations, because of the resurrection power, I have all power in heaven and in earth. That message that Jesus started, that fire that started on that Sunday morning, that fire that started 2,000 years ago, can I let you know, it wasn't just a viral moment in that day and time. No, it has been passed down from generation to generation. It has begun to spread like wildfire. I'm here to let you know that trends will come and go, but the gospel message is still here. It's still thriving. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still saving people. Jesus is still setting people free. And I want to know, is there anybody here that's grateful for the fact that our God has not changed? Our God is still who he is. He's still healing today. He's still forgiving today. He's still setting free today. And he's called us to spread it like wildfire. He's looking for people who will spread the gospel like wildfire. He's looking for people who will keep the fire going. He's looking for people who will say like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, send me, Lord, I'll go. He's looking for some people who says, Lord, I want to use my life, not for my glory, but for the glory of your kingdom. I want to pour out my life so that way more people will come to know Jesus. He's looking for some people who will say yes. Yes to his will, yes to his way. Family, can I let you know that the harvest is plentiful? The 757 is plentiful. Beyond is plentiful. The workers are few. He says, I'm looking for some people who will throw some logs on the fire, keep the fire burning, make it go viral more, spread the gospel more, share it with people more, share it with family more. Dream of mine is to see not just our church, but so many Christ-centered, godly churches overflowing with people. I think if people will line up to go gamble at Rosie's, I would long and love to see lines lining up to get in the house of God on a Sunday morning. We're not giving out money. No, we're giving out the bread of life. We're giving out something that's much greater. We're giving out water that will never run dry. We're giving out something that will change a marriage. We're giving out something that will change a home. We're giving out something that will set people free. Who's here today that can say, sign me up, Lord. Send me, I'll go. I don't want to sit on the sideline any longer. No, I want to be used for your glory. I want to be poured out. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment. Because as we've received the gospel from Jesus, we must release the gospel of Jesus. We've received it, now we release it. We've received it, it's good news. But this good news is not meant to just stay with you. It's meant to flow through you. He's called us to make disciples. But Pastor, I don't know all the scriptures, but you got a story of God's goodness. It's all you need right now. Tell them, spread it like wildfire. Make it go viral. That's what he's looking for. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, and you can honestly say, my life is empty right now. I've been trying to live life according to my own standard. Some of you are here today and you've heard about this Jesus, but you've never had a relationship with him. You don't know him. Today is the day for you to say yes to him. And I believe that some of you are here today. You came here empty. You came here dry. You came here hurting. You came here looking. Everything that you need is found in Jesus. Some of you are here today and you need a new beginning. He came from heaven to earth to die for your sins, past, present, and future. He rose back to life to give you new life, to give you access to the family of God. And the only thing you got to do is say yes to him in faith. So if you're here today and you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ, so on the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? You want a new beginning with him? You want to start over with him? On the count of three, would you shoot up your hand? One, today is the day of new beginning. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, just raise your hand. Slip up your hand, wherever you are. Come on, wherever you are, slip up your hand. Just want to see you, wherever you are, slip up your hand. Come on. Amen, I see your hand, amen. Come on, online, this is for you as well. For every hand lifted,
And for some of you,
you have a relationship with Jesus, but let's be real about it. You've wandered. You've drifted. Today he's calling you back. Not with condemnation, but with an invitation of love. So if this is you as well, I want you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith and confession. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, I saw some hands go up, church family. Can we celebrate those who said yes to Christ today? Amen.